but stand and remember those who gave their lives in conflict. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we give our today. Please be seated. Psalmist writes, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We come into the presence of the holy and the mighty God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. And thank you, Heavenly Father, you are the Lord. You are in control. Lord, we gather before you this special Sunday, and we remember those who gave their lives during times of conflict and wars, that we may be free. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a greater deliverance this morning. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for sinners like us, paid a price we could never pay in and of ourselves. And he died to deliver us from our sin, and the price has been paid. And thank you, in him there is redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we thank you that Christ is risen from the dead, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Heavenly Father, we're mindful that we're still living in days of conflict and war. Our Lord said that in the last days there would be wars and rumours of wars. And down through the centuries, this has been the case. And even today, Heavenly Father, we hear, we witness man's inhumanity to man. We do pray for peace in troubled spots. We do remember the ongoing conflict in the Ukraine. We pray for a peaceful settlement there, for a cease in the fighting. It's been going on for a while, Heavenly Father. We pray for peace. And Heavenly Father, we pray as well, we're mindful of what's happening in Palestine. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for those on both sides of the conflict. We pray again for a peaceful settlement. The future's in your hands, Heavenly Father, but for now we pray for a peaceful settlement. Lord, we do pray for peace We pray, Heavenly Father, for reconciliation, true reconciliation between Jew and non-Jew, and that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. We pray for salvation on both sides of the conflict, Heavenly Father, that people would come to know, on all sides of the conflict, pray that people would come to know and to put their trust in Christ, the Prince of Peace, the only Saviour. That's the only way there'll be peace in the Middle East. We pray, Lord, for reconciliation between Jew and non-Jew through Christ. We're mindful as well of troubled spots in the world where there's great persecution against your people, Lord. And I think of North Korea, whose leadership for building these weapons and long-range missiles, Lord, while their people in the nation starve. Lord, we do pray for changes in the nation, for the removal of an evil regime. Pray for the salvation of the lost, for the protection of the church. And we do pray for changes in the nation, Lord, that they may have freedom and not have to live for fear of losing their life or being incarcerated in prison or concentration camps. Lord, we do pray for an opening up, Heavenly Father, and for an easing and a cease of the persecution. We pray for changes. And again, where there's persecution, where there's conflict, we do pray for peace. And in these troubled spots that we've mentioned this morning, we do pray you protect your church. We pray that Christian people would shine forth in the situation and know what to do. Lord, we pray for our own nation as well. And we do pray for a healing, a spiritual and a moral healing for the nation. We thank you for the gospel freedoms that we do have in this land. We do pray for their care and protection. We pray for wisdom and guidance for our leaders in the Scottish Parliament and in the UK government as well. Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom, guidance, for restraint as well, Lord. We do think of the bigger international picture as well. Pray for wisdom and guidance, but also restraint for the new incoming president-elect in America. You'd guide his ways too. Lord, bless our gathering here today. Help us as we do worship you, as we hear what you have to say from your word. Be with those who are not able to be with us. We know some are laid aside through ill health today. We just pray for our ongoing healing touch. But bless our gathering and other gatherings throughout the land where the word is being opened up this morning. Speak to our hearts, we pray. So, Lord, may we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Help us as we worship you. Help us to listen to what you have to say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our opening hymn. It's a hymn we usually sing on Remembrance Sunday. O God, our help in ages past. Let's rise and sing together.
Sons away, they fly for God's
Well, of course, this is Remembrance Sunday, and we are remembering those who gave their lives in the world wars and the different wars. But of course, we have a greater remembrance as well that Christians are commanded to do. Our Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me," and we remember, mentioned in the prayer, a far greater deliverance that we as Christians enjoy, a deliverance from our sin because of Christ, our Saviour. So we gather here this morning around the Lord's table. I'll read these words from the Apostle Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray together as we give thanks for the bread, which reminds us of our Saviour's body broken for us. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. As we gather around the Lord's table this morning, thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. When the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. Thank you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And he was tempted. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. But he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he died in our place at the cross at Calvary and paid the price for our sin. We've been redeemed, delivered, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Thank you for our Saviour this morning. Thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. His body was broken for sinners like us. As we take of the bread, which reminds us of our Saviour's body, may we receive it with glad and thankful hearts and be strengthened in our faith this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'll leave it open. Would someone like to give thanks for the cup, which reminds us of the blood of Christ shed for sinners?
Jesus died on Calvary. Oh, the blood, the precious blood. Praise the Lord. It cleanses me. Lord, we thank you for the life that is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all sin. Oh, it's precious. Your name is precious. Your blood is precious. And Lord, we give you thanks for Jesus. May we serve you aright. May we have a fresh vision of Calvary and the great sacrifice that was wrought for the world. We thank you for your great love. May that love permeate our lives as we partake in the wine and as we live our lives as unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray together. So, Heavenly Father, once more we've gathered around the Lord's table to remember our Saviour. Thank you, he made the ultimate sacrifice and died for our sins. But thank you, Heavenly Father, though he suffered and died, suffering is led to glory. Thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord, seated at your right hand, one day coming again for his own blood-bought people. We know that this feast is only until he come. Until then, help Heavenly Father, strengthen us in our faith, help us to labour on for you, filled with your Spirit and living lives worthy of our calling. And we pray in Jesus' name, Amen. Now the scripture says that after the disciples had broken bread in the upper room, they sang a hymn together. So we're going to sing one and do a quick change of hymn this morning with the I Sing Worship. But thanks again to Samuel for helping me out with this. We're going to sing a hymn that I heard sung last night at the Remembrance Service. It was on television. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. So we'll rise and sing together. Thank you. I just got one or two announcements before we read the scripture this morning. So, announcements for the coming week. Tomorrow, the usual time, Knit and Natter, 2:30, tomorrow afternoon. Wednesday evening, 7:30, the weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. Do come along. And join us if you can. Join us in person. If you can't get out, come and join us in Zoom land as well. You can tune in there. We're going through this month the book of Ruth, so we're reading a chapter every week. So this week it'll be Ruth chapter 2. So if you can't make it to the meetings, you can always read along and study the book of Ruth with us in your own private times. Thursday, fitness and fellowship back on 6:30, God willing and weather permitting. And then can I draw your attention as well to this flyer for Saturday evening, something up in the Gardenstown New Church. And if you've got the WhatsApp as well, if you've got the church WhatsApp, you'll see this has been added to it. Faith Mission Gardenstown weekend, speaker Reverend Graham Orr. He's highly recommended by Paul Crow, so speaking to him. So that's Saturday, 7:00, at the Gardenstown New Church. Next week on Sunday morning, the speaker is our friend John Buchanan, down from Hopeman. And then there's a Sunday evening service as well. We're going to have a representative from Mission West Africa, and that will be starting at 6:00. There'll be tea and refreshments before the service. So it's one for the diary there, a mission West Africa, 6:00 next Sunday evening. Now, I think these are all the announcements. We're going to read the scripture this morning, and we come to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, and we're going to read the whole of the first chapter and into chapter 2, verse 1. I'm not going to speak all that long this morning, you'll be pleased to hear. This is so we can get out and can get down to the War Memorial and watch the parade there. I do remember, actually, I've spoken in Habakkuk a number of times around different churches. I can remember being in the north of England once and facing quite a, with all due respect, I think they were quite a dour group, okay? And I said to them, if you don't know where the book of Habakkuk, I thought it'd be funny, and I thought, if you don't know where the book of Habakkuk is, it comes after Nahum. I'm sure I don't need to do that with you. You all know where the book of Habakkuk is, but they just looked back stone-faced and said, what page is it on? So much for that. Anyway, but you all know where the book of Habakkuk is. It is one of the minor prophets as we're coming towards the end. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. We're going to read the first chapter together. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surrounded the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fiercer than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, hold their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil. You cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out of his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. And by them he lives in luxury, for his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Amen. Amen. Before we come to God's word this morning, we're going to sing another hymn, which will be up on the screen, of course. O Church, Arise and Put Your Armour On. Let's sing together.
Conqueror has risen. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride. Give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As signs of old still line the way, returning triumphs of His grace. We hear the calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. Oh, 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 oh.
Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We pray that you speak to us from your word, that you teach us by your spirit, and be glorified in our midst here this morning, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one modern Christian myth that's often propagated today is that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, all your problems disappear. God's got a great plan for your life, but you need a relationship with Jesus, and when you trust in him, he'll sort out all your problems. That's not true at all. Your problems don't disappear, even if you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Certainly, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, yes, absolutely, your relationship with God has been solved and you're eternally secure in him. Praise God. But you only need to look back at history, you only need to look at the scripture to know that God's people, Christians, are not exempt from trouble. You want to see that very clearly? You can just read the book of Job at some point. Don't know if we could do a Bible study on Job. Norman, would this take 42 weeks to do that, so it could be a bit long. But the book of Job, it's a good study, though. Psalm 73 also makes it quite clear that God's people are not immune from hardship. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll see he suffered more than any of us ever will. If you only look at a little bit of church history and some of the great servants that God used, guys like George Whitfield, Spurgeon, they died young in their 50s, they suffered a lot, and maybe the finest Scottish preacher ever, Robert Murray McShane, was only 29 years old when he passed away. So God's people are not exempt from trouble and hardships and illness and whatever. So when you come to the book of Habakkuk, let's see what he went through, what he saw in the nation. Let's see how it applies to us today. So Habakkuk, all right, if you don't know where Habakkuk is, it comes after Nahum, as I said. Habakkuk, it's the 8th of the 12 minor prophets. Now, Habakkuk would have lived roughly 625 BC. And he's looking out at his nation at the time. He looks at the land of Judah. He's considering the bigger picture, the international. Well, he's looking at the international scene, and he's struggling. He's struggling with some problems. Now, you may look at what's going on in our nation today, some of the laws that's being passed, some of the things that's happening in the streets, some of the rise of crime, the economic problems, the hardships, the way that governments are dealing with the problems, the injustices. You may look as well up at the international situation and see these different wars and conflicts in the Ukraine and Palestine and Israel. And you may as well wonder why certain people are elected into power, into leadership. You may even be maybe thinking that, especially over this last week. But Habakkuk was looking at the problems of his time. What did he do? Did he go into himself and did he worry all about it? He took them to God. He took them to God. And when you look at Habakkuk chapter 1, it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue. You read it all as one chapter, but you start with Habakkuk speaking to God. You then have God's answer, and then you get Habakkuk speaking again. So let's just break it up that way. This is, first of all, it starts in the opening verses with Habakkuk speaking to God. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Habakkuk speaks to God. Habakkuk lived at a time when society was coming apart at the seams. And there was much violence in the land. Well, we know all about violence in our land, don't we, when we think about the summer riots that there were in terms throughout the country. Much violence. What did he do? He poured it all out to God. How long shall I cry? The expression there, how long, shows he perseveres with it. He doesn't just pray as a one-off, he perseveres. How long shall I cry? The rich were exploiting the poor. The law was being twisted. The law was being ignored. The leaders of the day seemed powerless to be able to change anything or do anything about it. It sounds familiar for us today, living in 21st century Britain. And a question arose, where was God? Why was he allowing this to happen? What could Habakkuk do, and what can we do as we look out in the situation today? Habakkuk prayed, and he didn't just pray, Habakkuk persevered. Habakkuk prayed, Habakkuk persevered. Habakkuk took it to the Lord. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We look at the situation in our land and we think the situation is hopeless. The church seems so unable to respond to this as well. The church seems to be more and more marginalised. And we read as well of churches in the different denominations shrinking. It has been said, well, in fact, if you think about that hymn we just sung recently, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. Do you know who wrote it? It was written by a man called William Williams, gave his nickname Pantycelyn. But William Williams, if you look at his history, he lived in the 18th century, and he was Welsh, as you probably gathered. Of course, that's a traditional Welsh hymn, and often they change the words around a little bit and sing it at the sports matches as well. But it was written by William Williams at a time of great spiritual awakening in Wales. Now, having spent a little bit of time, well, a good few years in Wales, I know that many people in Wales are looking for revival, and they would meet even specifically in their prayer meetings for revival. They'd even have, one or two occasions, I went to a Saturday morning, I think it was 7:30 in the morning, a prayer meeting for revival. Yes, I think Saturday morning at 7:30, I was looking for a different kind of revival, mind you. But you get these people meeting for revival. Okay, and there's a big emphasis on it, and they'd experienced revival in generations past. Now, recently, I heard a preacher standing up in a conference and saying that Wales is now the most secular part of the UK. That may or may not be true. But people, it's not just Wales. Many people in Scotland and throughout the UK are looking for an awakening, a move of the Spirit. And you think to yourself, well, people pray, why does the Lord not answer and send revival? We'll look at that in a moment. But people are taking it to the Lord, longing for an awakening. We've got to pray, take it to the Lord in prayer. Habakkuk speaks to God. How long? How long? And the Lord, so that's the first part of the dialogue. Habakkuk speaks to God. How long shall I cry out to you? How long do I have to cry out to you as regards what's going on in the nation? Where are you, God? What are you going to do? Do you ever feel that same way? Where are you, God? Oh, that you'd rend the heavens and come down. Habakkuk, though, took the burden to the Lord. Now we come to the second part of the dialogue. The Lord answered. The Lord answered. Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded. God instructs Habakkuk to turn away from his own little bubble, from his own world. Watch God at work on the wider canvas. God is listening. Years ago, it was way back in the 20th century, there was a good Christian teacher who wrote many books, Francis Schaeffer. And he, you know, many people were converted through his ministry, and he witnessed, and he shared, he preached. And many people were blessed, and people are still blessed and helped by his books. And one of his books was called, He Is There, and he is not silent. First book he wrote was called The God Who Is There. He went on to write a sequel called He Is There and He Is Not Silent. We need to remember He is there and He is not silent. And he's listening. So when we look at what's going on around us, we think, maybe think, is God absent? Is God indifferent? Absolutely not. God is listening. And God is working out his plans and his purposes. And God says to Habakkuk, he gives the answer. What's he going to do? Is he going to revive the nation? Is he going to bring them back to God? Is he going to bring them to their knees and they'll be repentant and like the Ninevites in the days of Jonah? Are they going to put on sackcloth and ashes and repent? Is he going to further bless them? What's he going to do? This is what he says. For behold, verse 6, I am raising up the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians. The Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. That's not the answer Habakkuk wanted. Raising up the Chaldeans. These were ruthless people. They were only interested in conquering others. And they were godless people. You know, Judah, and the nation of Israel, the Israelites were the people of God. These were godless people. How could God raise up such people? Shouldn't he be stopping them? The Lord was working out his purposes. At this moment in history, the Lord was planning to chasten Judah, not to bless, not to bring them to their knees in repentance and make everything right in the nation again. The Lord was planning to chasten Judah, and Judah would be taken into exile for 70 years. Northern kingdom of Israel had been conquered. Southern kingdom of Judah is about to be taken into exile. It's not what Habakkuk expected. Isn't it true to say that we're very good at prescribing the answers to our own prayers? Do you ever think, well, this is it, there's only one way God can act here. God has to do this. God has to solve that conflict. God's got to bring that conflict to an end. You know, we maybe think sometimes God can only do this one thing. Sometimes God may do the exact opposite. Don't you find the ways of God strange sometimes in our eyes, from a human standpoint? Well, when you think of the situation just now in the Ukraine, it's been going on for 2.5 years, or maybe more than that. You think of what's going on in Israel at the moment. You think of the great persecutions that go on against the Lord's people in different parts of the world. You wonder why. Why, Lord? Remember this, that history is always under divine control. Things don't just happen. Nothing takes God by surprise. God knows when to bless a people or a nation, and God knows when not to bless. Everything is under his hand. There's a story about an elderly minister who used to go and visit the people in his congregation. If they'd suffered a hard time, like a bereavement or a serious illness or whatever, and he would come in with a bookmark. His tradition was to come in with a bookmark, and he would show them the bookmark on the reverse side. And when they looked at the reverse side, it was all just tangled webs and just a mess. Did it make sense at all? When he would turn the bookmark over, in very clear letters, it would say, God is love. And so it is. We have to go through life amidst a mess, a tangled mess. We're living in a fallen world. But through it all, we need to remember God is love and will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we look at what's going on in our nation and across the world, God may use strange instruments to carry out his purposes. It may be a Chaldean army. It may be a religious group. It may be dictators and certain world leaders. A few years ago, we might have been saying it might be a virus or an illness. But let's just always remember this, that whatever arises, whatever may arise, whatever we're faced with, however dark the situation may seem in a country and across the world, let's just remember this, that no power on earth is out of his hand. No ruler on earth is above him. No power on earth is out of his hand. God speaks, not the answer Habakkuk wanted, but God speaks and God is working out his purposes and plans to perfection. As you come to the end of Habakkuk chapter 1, you've got Habakkuk speaking again. God is unchanging. God is sovereign. God is holy. God is not silent. He is there and not silent. God is active in world affairs. The Chaldeans were trusting in military power. People were like fish in the sea waiting to be caught. That's what the scripture says here. Is God just going to keep filling their net with victims? Habakkuk waits for God to speak. He commits the burden to the Lord. Why turn it over in his mind when he can seek the Lord? He's now come to a place of humble submission to God. Who am I to object to God's ways? He asks the questions, but he asks in submission, not in protest. He's wrestled with the problem. He's seeking a better understanding of God's will. Don't you find the ways of God strange? I mentioned the dear Welsh people, Welsh saints who would be praying for revival. And of course, people across our land have been praying for an awakening for some time. If you look at what is going on in the nation today, churches, the true evangelical churches who are seeking to follow the word of God, not their own traditions, but the word of God, are growing. Yes, certainly denominations who've abandoned the word of God and the mantra of same-sex marriage, they're the ones that are declining. Look at it yourself. How would people have felt if they'd known, you know, people praying, whether it was Scotland or Wales, praying maybe way back in the 1950s and 60s, come Lord bless, come and move by your spirit, come down and revive your church and save the young generation. How would they have known then, how would they have felt then if they'd known that over the next 50, 60 years things were just going to get worse? Things would get worse. We don't understand the ways of God. But we've got to remember that the Lord is sovereign. He is working out his purposes. He will bring his purposes and plans to perfection. Certainly keep praying. Oh God, rend the heavens and come down. Who knows, with the growth amongst the evangelical church in the nation today, in the UK, perhaps that long for awakening, the awakening that many people, many Christians have longed for, will come eventually. But let's keep praying and remember as well, God can work in other ways. God may choose other ways to work. May raise up preachers to go into towns and villages and cities and to preach the word and to know great blessing. There's other ways the Lord can work. But he may raise up strange instruments to do his will, what we're not expecting. But we've got to bow to him. And when we see the situation in our nation and in our world, we should be asking ourselves, what is God doing? Rather than getting stressed out or worried or saying, oh, this is awful, and well, it is awful, but, you know, that it's hopeless. It's not hopeless at all. Let's remember to look to God. Let's ask, what's he doing? What's he doing in the greater, bigger picture? And let's remember, God will work out his purposes and his plans to perfection. Let's remember, here we have no continuing city. Ultimately, this world is not the end. And someday the Lord is coming for his own blood-bought people. And it's most important that you're ready to meet him. And you can be ready by knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. God has made a way whereby we might be right with him and ready to meet him. Put your faith and trust in him, the most important thing that you need to do. And when we look at the world situation, When we look at conflicts today, you're thinking, you know, all those years on from the Second World War and the First World War, we haven't learned anything. Man is still showing inhumanity to mankind. That's true. But let's not be surprised. That's what our Lord, that's how our Lord said it would be. But let us learn to look at these events from a spiritual point of view. Let's consider, what is God doing in our land, in our community, in our land, and in the bigger picture? And let's ultimately examine our own hearts. Do we know Christ as our Saviour? Are we living for God? Are we right with God? We've maybe known Him for many years. We maybe professed faith many years ago. Have we grown? Have we grown? We're told to grow in our faith. Are we really trusting and yielding ourselves to Him? Are we willing to let Him have His way with us and have His way with those whom we love? As we consider Habakkuk this morning, let's think as well of another man who suffered greatly, the Apostle Paul. I mentioned him earlier, and let's just finish with his words as they're found in Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words. When we look around and we see things as they are today, and we see people falling away from you, and we see things getting apparently worse in the nation, these conflicts, Lord, and these world leaders, world dictators, Heavenly Father, and these weapons of mass destruction that they can use, help us, Lord, not to be afraid, but to trust in you. Remember, you are working at your plans and your purposes. Help us to look up and trust and continue to keep seeking your face, Lord. May we all be sure we're in the right relationship with you today and trusting in you and going on with you. Strengthen us in our faith this morning, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close this morning. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's rise and sing together.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He
Yes, indeed, Heavenly Father, thank you. Life is worth a living because he lives, because Jesus lives. And thank you for the great hope that we do have if we know Christ as our Saviour. Thank you, Jesus is coming again. And we pray this morning, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until that day, Heavenly Father, help us to labour on for you, reassured of your love and your presence with us. And Lord, we do pray you be with us this day, and may your grace and mercy and peace be with each and every one of us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.